going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
8:15 now, Wednesday morning. That's when we usually talk to Ronald Serpas, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Nashville City Police, Washington State Police. You see him on networks when they want to get somebody on and talk about law enforcement. He's a noted expert. How you doing, Chief?
Tommy, it's a great day. I hope you're having a good day.
I am. Let's talk about, before we get to crime in the city and so forth, this thing that happened in LaPlace, and I saw Sheriff Traeg talking about it with 15-year-old, one of them arrested. They show up at 2 a.m. outside of a Waffle House and just go crazy with guns, shooting all over the place. Amazing nobody was killed or injured. What does that say about the availability of guns, about juveniles? Tell me what you take away from that.
I think the first thing is that Sheriff Traeg is an amazing law enforcement leader for our region. I've known him for a few years. I respect him and think he's doing a wonderful job. Secondly, You have to ask yourself a question. When a 15-year-old looks to their mom and them and says, it's 2:00 in the morning and I'm walking out to go start my day. That's one of the key issues to the problem. Gun availability is a two-part thing. There's always a question of whether or not a homeowner is making a gun safe in their home. But that's not half. That's only half the equation. Kids, young people can find guns on the street as well as anywhere else. So the third issue there is what motivates 15-year-olds or more than one 15-year-old to consider that the use of gun into a place where people are just having their own evening. Maybe they had a target in there, but that's the whole problem we've talked about before, is that some level of disassociation of consequences through a lot of talk that it's never really the child's fault. It's an oppressive something. It's a systemic something. Whether that's true or not doesn't make a difference. If they decide to shoot a weapon into a crowd, even if a victim they're looking for is in there, other people get hurt and killed. So there's no place for them to stand, I think. You decided to do this. You're 15 years old. You have to pay a consequence for it.
Yeah, I guess what I was wondering is, you know, you see a 15-year-old like that, at what point does a kid... Do you have to get them before they pick up the gun? And I mean, I just can't imagine myself at 15 years of age going to a Waffle House and start firing a gun like crazy. And I just wonder, at what age do studies show that you got to get them on the right track? And if not, then it's too late? Or is there such a thing?
As a general question, juvenile delinquency occurs in most children's life, and it's like bumping up against things. I shoplifted a magazine, or I stole something, or I got in a fight at school, et cetera. They tend to end really, really quickly when a lot of systems around that child kick in, family, friends, expectations, schools. What happens, at least to me, a bit academic and a bit pragmatic, is when you see those systems that are there for thousands of children in depressed areas kick in to save those children from delinquency, you'll also see the ones where in the exact same neighborhood, the exact same conditions, kids who aren't doing bad things have systems to protect them, families, et cetera. And the ones who are not being protected by those systems, they end up becoming delinquent and usually stay in through delinquency until the early 20s.
And the other part of the question I want to ask you, not as it relates to this individual, because I don't think you know this individual or anything about him, but You got a 15-year-old, and Sheriff Trey quoted as saying, I think some of the charges, one of them arrested, 15-year-old arrested, booked with illegal possession of a handgun by a juvenile, illegal use of weapons. They also have some they're looking for, criminal history of the suspects, including charges for murder. How do you rehabilitate somebody like that? Or is that person going to jail for the rest of their life and there's nothing else we can do about it?
Well, I think we all hope that everyone can be saved. And sometimes they can be. And there's just no question about it. There's wonderful stories of young people who went down very bad paths. And by the mid-20s, early 30s, they got released from prison because they were held accountable. And they've gone on to change their lives forever. But then there are always going to be these people that no matter what you think you can do as a society, no matter what you think you can do as a conscious race, religious consciousness, it doesn't matter. The child is just not going to take those cues and they're not going to change their behavior. I think the good news is this. If you look at any community, there's tens of thousands of children who live in the exact same impoverished condition that the child who commits the crime uses to blame for why they committed the crime, yet there's 10,000 other ones in the same conditions who never chose to commit a crime. I think the easiest explanation there is family and support networks.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back and we'll talk about mayoral candidates and what people of New Orleans should be looking for as they decide and vet candidates for mayor and in terms of a crime plan. Also, I'm going to talk to Larry Barabino later on, CEO of Nord. I want to talk to you about the importance of Nord. I know at one point in the 50s, other cities in the country were looking at Nord as an ideal model of how to keep people out of trouble, young people out of trouble, and just how important that is. We're talking to Ronald Surpass, our friend, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, 820 Traffic Now, WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ronald Surpass, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, and a noted authority when it comes to law enforcement. Chief, before we get to things that voters should look for from mayoral candidates, let me talk to you about the importance of Nord, because I'm going to talk to Larry Barabino later. He's come under some criticism for the facilities. How important is a functioning Nord when it comes to keeping kids out of trouble?
Well, I think it's crucial. I played Nord football for 3 years when I was a boy. Mm-hmm. Nord provides a safe space. Nord provides, if you're playing a sport, thinking about learning the basics of life. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You don't throw a bat at another kid because you missed the ball. I mean, Nord has so many things beyond the athleticism. It's like just how to become part of a society. It helps parents. Obviously, some parents just can't get there, and it's not meant to be an aftercare specialty, but it's a great place for kids to be safe and healthy and hopeful. The Morial administration, when I was a deputy chief, invested a ton of money in Nord, and I would think Richard Pennington, rest his soul, and certainly myself as the number two chief, would assign a significant percentage of the reduction of juvenile-related misconduct and delinquency because there was an aggressive Nord program. Cities got to fund it. They got to make it funded in a real way where parents can see there's an investment, and you'll draw a lot of parents to it. You're not going to get every kid that wants to be bad, but you're going to get a lot of kids who want to be good.
I know you've been here a while, but maybe not that long, but back in the 50s, New Orleans kind of set the standard for youth participation programs. Are they not recreation departments?
I would believe that, because by the time I hit it in the 1970s, it was robust. There was as many Nord playgrounds around the city as there is churches. I mean, they were everywhere, and it was I played right next to St. Gabriel in Gentilly. I mean, it was just a wonderful place for kids to have a chance to be a kid. And then think about this other thing. You have parents who begin to meet other people from other neighborhoods, the other communications. They start creating relationships. That's part of a mayor's crime-fighting plan, the non-police stuff that makes a difference, Nord, mental health, child and youth engagement on the bubble of delinquency. Being able to see those issues as part of the crime-fighting plan is important, as is the police department.
Like me, I'm guessing you may have skipped lunch to make that 120-pound team weigh-in?
I did.
Did that. Jogged around the Berman gym, lose a couple of pounds just so I can make the weigh-in for the game. Let's talk about mayoral candidates and what people should look for. How do you separate the BS from what really makes sense when it comes to mayoral candidates and crime plans?
First off, what makes sense is a multifaceted government approach. That's not BS, but it starts to get people confused and not interested in it. But you got to be clear that you see crime as something more than just a police department, because if police departments and mayors could stop...
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. but I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Up all murders, how many would we have? Mm. None. So you have to think broadly, and I think they'll all have some platforms like that. For me, the key burning issue continues to be the same. The New Orleans Police Department is physically structured with buildings for 1,600 people. We haven't been 1,600 people since 2011. Mm. The New Orleans Police Department continues to build itself as if it's going to reach 1,200 people again, but gets the opportunity to celebrate success in crime reduction at 900. That sends a confusing message to a public. So my answer is this. I think mayoral candidates ought to be very clear that they're going to bring in outside experts, not me, outside experts who know how to do baseline staffing studies to know, do we need 900 or do we need 1,200? And give people a real goal as opposed to telling these young men and women they come to work every day, it's in the culture, Tommy. We're 400 short. It's a bad day. That's terrible for morale of the officers and terrible for morale of the community. And then the piece that goes with that, we all watch Detroit shut down the number of precinct stations. Those things are expensive. Do we still need 8? Those are the kind of real nut and bolt questions I think they ought to have a plan to address.
I know you're still connected and you got friends. What are you hearing about Nord? What are they telling you?
I have not heard much about Nord, but I know one thing. During a mayoral campaign, if somebody wants to take the bold strokes of action that Mark Morial did 30 years ago in Nord, they would be doing themselves a favor.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time as always. And your insight, Ronald Surpass, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent. We come back, we'll talk to our friend Xavier Thompson, Dr. Thompson, assistant professor at the LSU School of Kinesiology, leading expert in sports medicine. We'll talk about Ryan Ramczyk retiring, Saints offensive lineman, because of a chronic knee injury. We'll talk about some other things, injuries in general. Right now, 8:30, time for WWL First News. 8:46, 14 till 9. I always like to have the information in front of me as we talk about anything so I can reference it. And I got to tell you, the search for Ryan Ramczyk's name, it was an adventure trying to figure out how to spell it. It's 8:46, 14 till 9. I'm Tommy Tucker, joined by Dr. Xavier Thompson, an assistant professor at the LSU School of Kinesiology, leading expert in sports medicine. We always enjoy our conversations with him. How you doing, doctor?
Good. How are you, Tommy?
I'm all right. So let's talk about Ryan Ramczyk, 31 years old, and what is it? What was it that led to him retiring on April 22nd? Because it seems like this young man at only 31, which seems long in the tooth for an NFL player in a school of life, is just a baby. What was he facing, the knee challenges? And it seems as though he was thinking more about the rest of his life than his football career.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. 31 in most terms is pretty young. And it seems like, you know, years of just degenerative changes in the cartilage. There's not much publicly out about the types of surgery yet, but generally we all have cartilage in our knee, and I mean, throughout our body, but in the knee specifically, we see that it's kind of, once it's gone, it's gone. And there's some potential solutions, but you know, from everything I've seen, he tried a few different surgical options and none of them are great. You know, we can try our best to replace what's already there, but we don't really get back the original cartilage.
Why have they not been able to develop a synthetic cartilage yet? You would think in this day and age that'd be the easiest thing in the world, but it's not, is it?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I think part of the problem is there's a few different types of cartilage. We have the type in our ear, and that's not really what we're talking about. And then within our knee, we have the smooth cartilage that kind of helps line the joint, and then we have a tougher cartilage that's our meniscus. And the issue is when we get rid of that smooth cartilage, we try to replace it with either the tough cartilage, which, you know, is great for absorbing shock, but it's not as smooth, so it doesn't really take away the pain. And when we try to replace it with other smooth cartilage, there are newer options, but it takes so long for those to take hold. So even if you replace it perfectly, we don't get great blood supply to cartilage in general, and that's why it doesn't heal the same way as our muscles or our tendons.
So they can't, there's no synthetic that, you know, because I tried, look, Doc, before I had the knees replaced, I tried all of this, I think Synvisc or whatever the name of it is, or the lubricant that they put in there to try to, and none of that worked at all. And I'm just wondering, why can't they make it out of rubber or latex or something like that? Your body rejects it, or what, you can't attach it? What's the deal there?
A little bit of both. So usually what we go to is, if they're young enough, and when I say young enough, I mean, you know, children, we'll try maybe to take it from somewhere else, but that's only good for small patches. The properties are so unique that it's almost, I mean, it's very hard to replace cartilage with anything else. Ligaments are a little bit more straightforward, and even those we have a little bit of trouble with. But cartilage, the issue is we need it to do a lot of things. It's kind of like a sponge. So we want it to absorb a little bit of load. If we don't load it at all, it's not a good thing. It gets weaker. But if we give it too much, it's also not good. And because it has so many jobs, we don't have a great way of replacing it with something completely artificial. And we move to some techniques that use cadavers. So, you know, you take someone else's cartilage, but it takes so long for those to heal. And even with that, with any type of external tissue, you have a risk of rejection that's fairly high, whether it's something man-made or just existed from someone who was not you.
Are they making inroads into replacement cartilage, or are they at least showing progress?
Yes. Yeah, there's definitely been progress. So I think way back when, and when I say way back, I mean even just the early 2000s, we didn't even have some of the techniques we have now. So back then, we were really focused on just replacing with fibrocartilage. And that's what that surgery, you may have heard of microfracture, where essentially we try to drill holes in people's knee, create a blood supply, and that actually, the outcomes were way worse, believe it or not.
All right, let me tell you.
The healing takes a long time. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought, please, and then we'll take a break.
Yeah. Yeah, the healing takes a long time. Now we're getting closer with techniques that use, you know, our other cartilage or cartilage from cadavers. The issue is that works pretty well for people who aren't playing NFL football. They just go through such extreme forces in such a short amount of time that, you know, if he had maybe 2 years to just go live his life, that would be a better outcome than, you know, go out there and block a defensive lineman.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I want to talk to you, Xavier Thompson, our guest associate professor at the LSU School of Kinesiology, leading expert in sports medicine. By the way, if you weekend warriors have any questions, 504-260-1870, I'd love to pass them along. And while Dr. Thompson can't diagnose you individually, I mean, he's not seeing you or touching you or anything like that, but he can maybe give you some general information. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler Talking text line, 504-260-1870. Text, message, and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. I'll pass the questions along. I want to talk when we come back, too, about proclivity to injury. And is there any way you can kind of look the way a guy's built and say, well, maybe he's more inclined to injury than the other? Because somebody told me Zion Williamson maybe didn't have the frame to be durable when it comes to basketball. Does the same thing apply to football? A lot of questions. We'll get the answers when we come back. 852, 8 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:58, couple of minutes left with Xavier Thompson, assistant professor at the LSU School of Kinesiology, leading expert in sports medicine. Doc, you know, I'm looking at this NFL combine thing. You got a, unless you're a quarterback or a wide receiver, you see how many times you can bench press 225. I understand that. That's not going to help you if your knees aren't there, though. And I'm just wondering, is there any way to determine what, if players are more predisposed to knee injuries or not due to the way they're built or constructed, or is it just the luck of the draw and what happens during the play?
It's really a combination of both. And so a lot of what happens that doesn't make it to TV at the combine is there's a lot of medical evaluation behind the scenes, a lot of talking to previous medical staff at the colleges these guys have played at to see if they've been hurt before. But even once they get to the NFL, we have gotten such a long way in sports medicine and sports science. We can observe, you know, exactly how they move, and not just, you know, a TV. I'm talking, you know, lab setups and just looking at how the joints move. And the issue is when you get to that level, you've probably been moving in a certain way for such a long time that it gets really hard to change some of those patterns, even if they do make you more predisposed to injury.
Yeah, I know from being at the Super Bowl convention center, whenever you see the NFL players, all of them walking with limps here, there, the other thing. Did just about every player other than a kicker have some kind of knee injury if you're going to play in the NFL, Doc?
Not necessarily knee injury, but yeah.
Something.
Some type of musculoskeletal injury. And I remember freshman in college, one of the first conversations the professor had with me is, you know, at a Division I level, anyone who is playing is hurt.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.